Nice to see everyone this morning. And we have just been partaking of the abundance that the Lord has had for us this week by the ministry through the members of the body and again this morning. And it's not, as the different ones have been up here ministering the things that the Lord has placed on their hearts, it's not the external, is it? It's not external at all. There's something that flows out through song, through prayer, through ministry, that we are changed by that. We are ministered to by that. It's like the bread of life that's being imparted to us. And it's the Spirit of the Lord that is in His body. I was just thinking, I don't remember all the words of the song, the last song that was sung here, but it was about Christ taking His rightful place as head. And that is not a future event, is it? It's today. It's right now. As we are listening what the Spirit of the Lord is saying to us and submitting to that, contributing what He puts upon our heart, it's that flow from the head out through every member of the body that we are partaking of. And it's a wonderful thing. I remember reading in Revelations a while ago. I don't have the reference here, but it was referring to the time when Christ would fill that place, and it was talking about how that would operate, and it said that He would feed His people. There would be that flow of the Spirit from the head out to the people. And I remember reading that, and you kind of have this mental picture, of Christ in our midst just kind of doing that ministry to us. But that is happening today. That is in progress today. He is feeding His sheep through the members of the body. He has, by choice, done it that way. There was a time when He stood on the shores of Galilee and He taught the people and they heard His voice. And, no doubt there'll be an aspect of that again. We don't understand very much of just exactly how that will all unfold. But in a very real way, He is feeding His sheep today. And it's coming through the ministry of every part of the body. And we cannot in any way minimize what the Lord is doing in our midst today. You know, we look at these these little ones. We're in the position of being grandparents now. And it's quite a good experience because you have the good and you don't have to deal with the bad. So we've just been totally blessed by that. And we're so thankful for them. But it's possible for us at this stage to be a little more observers. It seems like when we're in the process of raising families, you're so involved, you have no chance to really stand back and observe what's taking place. But now there's a little more opportunity to stand back and fold your arms and watch this all happen. But the remarkable part of that, the remarkable thing in that, is to see that continual ministry of the parents and of the home to the little one, and the development that takes place as a result of that. I mean, it's incredible. It's like this little person is just programmed to develop, and he needs certain things for that to happen. And when he gets those things that he needs, the rest of it just happens. And it is a remarkable thing. Our little grandson just learned to walk. And for a long time, I mean, he just sit in one spot basically and look around waiting for people to bring things to him. But now that he has made that transition and he's able to get around on himself, it's just growth and development that has taken place. And we can be absolutely sure that as the body ministers from the head through every member of the body, there is that same remarkable growth and development taking place. We are not the same today as we were in the past. We are growing and moving forward and entering in and taking possession. And you read of the tremendous things that are ahead. And, you know, you have no way of knowing how that would ever be possible. But the Spirit of the Lord never says, well, you know, if things work out, I think it should kind of end up like this. He will never talk to us like that.
Amen.
He lays out the course and the pattern. He gives us little glimpses of that from time to time. He unfolds our understanding of it. And then he fulfills it step by step. And he will take us from where we are until the fullness of that. And I know you know very little about these things, but somehow you can't help but feel when it is fulfilled. I guess when the sons of God are mature, there is no end there. That's probably true. It's probably opens the door for the real thing that's the real task that's before his body, carrying on from there. I doubt very much that there's an end in that. But we can be so thankful to the Lord. You know, again, just the way we deal with our offspring and our little ones. We deal with them right where they are. We don't expect more from them than they are able to do. You expect them for what they can understand and what they are capable of. You expect them to be obedient and to walk in that. But that's where it stops. And I have been so thankful to the Lord that He deals with me, He deals with you the same way. There's a greater work before us, but He deals with us right where we are. Praise God. What a wonderful gentle shepherd. You know, we heard that this morning. Very gentle, very careful, very understanding. And there's just some few scriptures perhaps we'll turn to this morning. Kind of the theme, I guess, or the thought that's just been stirring in my heart is more along the line of reminding us of the things that the Lord has been making known to us. Perhaps a little bit of a carry on from what some of the other brethren have brought to us so far this week. Some of the things that have already been ministered. There may be some duplication in that. It's possible. But the Spirit of the Lord is teaching us to walk. He's teaching us how we ought to walk. And you know, in our natural human thinking, we want to know big things. We want to know, you know, you wonder, well, what's the Lord going to do when He does this or when He does that? But what he is really teaching us about, what He is really talking to us about, is where we walk right now. What do we do right now? How do we enter in right now? What's our place and what's important right now? I remember a couple of years ago we were traveling over to overseas with some of the other brethren, and usually when we go flying out of Canada, we fly into Europe, into Amsterdam, and the flight leaves Canada at night, usually 6 or 7 o'clock at night, and you arrive in Europe in the morning. And so you're flying through the night, but the night is very short because you're flying towards the sun and get about 3 hours sleep, so you have to be ready to go after about 3 hours sleep. These brethren can attest to that. it's one of the downsides of travel. But I remember being on this big airplane, and I don't know, maybe it was a 747 or something, huge airplane with several hundred people on board, and flying through the night, everybody was asleep, and the plane was quiet, and gradually the sun began to arise, and you could look out the window, see the ocean below, and here we are traveling several hundred miles an hour, 40-some thousand feet in the air, and people are asleep, and 600-700 miles an hour, I guess, you're flying through the sky. And I remember looking out the window as the sun was coming up, and you could see the wing of this huge airplane just kind of sticking out there. And you could see the control surfaces. Maybe this appeals more to an engineer than to anybody else, but I immediately see this control surface coming into operation out there, unbeknownst to anybody that was asleep there in this airplane. But up front in that airplane, there was a navigation system that was there, probably all computerized. The pilots were probably just observing this, keeping an eye on things, but connected to satellites, providing information, and keeping this massive airplane with all of these people in this state traveling to this destination, keeping us on course. I remember looking out the window, and you could see this control surface every once in a while just kind of move a little bit. You couldn't feel the airplane shift at all, but you could see this control surface move, and then a little while later, I guess the other one would move. But all of the time, this information was coming into the airplane, and the airplane was responding to keep that traveling just where it should go. And it just kind of spoke to my heart, watching that. We were not, as that airplane was being, its flight was being adjusted, no one was even aware of it. But these subtle changes were taking place. And it just seemed the way that the Spirit of the Lord works with us, even through the members of the body. There is a destination that He has set before us. And we are headed to a very specific place. We are not just up there flying around, a sightseeing. We are heading for a very specific place. And it is very important that we stay on course. We cannot just go off. And when I was looking at that out the window and looking at that, the thought just came to mind how important that was. It was just being adjusted a little bit, but if we were to miss that airport by even a few miles, this big airplane would just keep on going. And who knows, when it ran out of fuel, you'd be in Siberia or something, and this big airplane come down, and the chances of survival would be very low. But that control and that operation of that was in place to prevent that from happening. And it just reminded me of the way the Spirit of the Lord is guiding our steps and our response to that. He doesn't wait until we are way off course and then all of a sudden you have to get back on course. He drops something into your heart or something into your brother's heart or something to be ministered. And it influences my steps. It influences my walk. And maybe I would be heading off in this way a little bit. And that influences it to get back on course. And you just can't help but think, every once in a while, unfortunately, there are those instances when individuals will say, well, we know a better way, or we this is where we're headed. And you see that departure from the place where that body ministry can function because an idea or something gets in their mind that this is the way. And they set that aside to follow something else. And it's not a good thing. It's not a good thing. We need to be in a place where the Spirit is moving among us and we walk just the way the Lord is guiding us. Very simply, very easy to follow, but very important. So some of these thoughts this morning, you might say, well, you know, this is nothing too earth-shaking. Well, it's true. The Lord has been speaking to us along these lines and in these meetings. Just, Lord permitting, we maybe just refer to some of the things that we have been taught. But we have been taught that the Lord is calling men and women out of every nation, out of every language, every corner of the world. He is calling them to find their place in the body. And that is the work of the Spirit. He is calling you and I to fit into our place in the body. And He is bringing us together to walk in that place of unity. That is a genuine work of the Spirit. There is nothing that we can do by our own efforts to do what the Spirit of the Lord is doing in our midst. You know, the folks that are gathered here are a wonderful group of people. But it's more than that. There is a unity. There is a love. There is a work of the Spirit in your life that joins you to me. We are joined together. And He is doing that work in every corner of the world. He is joining us to other men and women. And it says in Revelations 5 and 9, and they sang a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and open the seals thereof, for Thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by Thy blood out of every kindred, every and tongue and people and nation. And this is not just to make us a part to kind of call us in and save us, but it's to fit us into a specific purpose, that the authority that the Lord has placed in Jesus Christ can be vested in the people that He is raising up. And in verse 10 it says that Thou and hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign in the earth. And perhaps that is something that is not easy for us to understand, but the Spirit of the Lord is bringing us together for that purpose. The body of Christ is a ministering, governing entity operating under the headship of Christ. Through His sacrifice on the cross, the curse of sin was broken and the way opened for a life-giving flow of redemption, delivering and restoring the earth. Under His headship, the government of the kingdom is being set upon the throne of David to order it and establish it, and replacing the governments of men with the everlasting kingdom of God. And the Spirit of the Lord is doing that work. And these are things. I remember Brother Hinchcliffe kind of ministering along these lines about the things of the kingdom and saying that the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And ministering that way, that the kingdom of heaven is in the place where we can touch, we can lay hold upon it. We kind of think of these things as being afar off. But the Lord is telling us that these things are right here and right now for us to lay hold on and walk in. And we see it in our homes. We see it in our families. As we have family devotions together, the kingdom of heaven is in our homes. I remember when my wife and I purchased our last house, the first thing we did was, and perhaps you do the same, but we came in, we just dedicated this place to the Lord. We want the Spirit of the Lord to to be there. We want them to be in our home. We want them to be in our life. We want the Lord to guide our every step. We want the things that come up, we want the hand of the Lord to be involved in that.
Yeah.
I remember one time being in need of a car, and usually we drive cars until they're ready to go to the junk. When we're finished with it, it's finished.
Amen.
And we were in that place, and my wife is usually much more anxious to get something new than I am, something different. She starts to worry about reliability, and maybe this is men are more this way. We start thinking of this as more of a challenge. You know, we can keep this. She's not too much in tune with that. I remember that, and we were in need of a car, and we were shopping around, and we found something. It looked suitable. We could afford it. We could buy it. And the person that was selling it, as we were looking at this car, there was another buyer there at the same time. It was a used car, a private sale. We were looking at someone else was looking at the same time. And this other person seemed to be, you know, right in sync with the seller. I mean, these guys were just talking with that. So we thought, well, you know, maybe this isn't the one. You know, maybe this deal is kind of already done. So we left it in the hands of the Lord. The Lord knew that we needed a car. We just left that in the hands of the Lord. And I left the guy our phone number and a bit of information and what we were prepared to offer on this, which was usually less than they wanted to sell it for. So we said, this is what we were prepared to pay. And nothing happened. You know, something like 2 weeks went by. And finally, we got a phone call. He said, are you still interested in this car? And, yeah. I said, well, you know, I really have to have so much money. And said, well, you know, we're prepared to pay so much. And we made a deal. But what we found out after the fact, that this seller had already bought another vehicle, and he really needed to sell this car to pay for it. But in these small things, you think, you know, that's not a spiritual thing. You know, what's so spiritual about buying a car? Mm-hmm. It's spiritual because the Spirit of the Lord is involved in that.
Amen.
He is looking at the welfare of our home.
Yeah.
Our home is His doing. Our home is His business.
Yeah. Amen.
The affairs of the things that go on matter to the Lord. We can bring things as simple as that to Him. And it is for sure that He is working behind the scenes to work out what's in your best interest and mine. And those are the things. You know, those seem to be so down to earth. But such is the administration of the kingdom. Such is the things that will pertain to the administration of the kingdom. And I know that elders oftentimes feel somewhat overwhelmed with issues that have to be dealt with. And having been an elder, you know, and working together with the other elders dealing with some of these things, you know what it's like. But those things that have to be dealt with are very day-to-day, very down-to-earth. And as these brethren come together to advise and to counsel, they are not looking for a good intellectual solution. They are looking for the mind of the Spirit. Because the spiritual administration is beginning right there. And when as Brother Hinchcliffe ministered about the kingdom of heaven being at hand, it's that administrative government of His kingdom being things right now, right today, in our homes, in our local churches, is in operation. The day will come, as the scripture that we just read declares, but the day will come when that administration will be in a greater part. It will extend its reach further. It will reach out until the governments of men are replaced by that. I don't know how that will come about. The Lord has not revealed that. I can remember being a young person and reading in Daniel, and maybe you have similar thoughts, but I remember reading in Daniel about this, the image that King Nebuchadnezzar saw, and the dream in his dream, and how that rock struck the image on its feet, and that whole structure, which represented the governments of the earth, standing there with a head of gold and so on down to the feet of clay and iron and clay, and that rock striking that image on the feet, and that whole structure collapsing, just falling down and being dispersed through the whole earth till there was nothing left of it. And that rock raised up to fulfill its place in its stead with the righteous government of the kingdom. I remember reading that and thinking, you know, what does that mean? I mean, what do we have to do? Should we be out there picketing against our governments? Should we be out there undermining the authority of our government so that this can come to pass? And the Spirit of the Lord, and I mean, that was a genuine concern. I mean, what do we do? But I remember that the Lord just seemed to drop a thought into my heart to just walk as the Spirit of the Lord leads us. Just enter into your place. Just let the Spirit of the Lord guide you, step by step. Day by day, those things will unfold. That's His work. How that will come about, that is His work. But you can rest assured that it will come about. It will be unfolded. There is no question about that. Remember a while ago too, you read in the prophetic books of the Bible, and they're so specific. You know, they just lay out there that, you know, this and that, even though you don't understand some of the things that are there, it's written in such a way you can read the words, but you don't always appreciate what's being said. But in the areas that we can understand, the places that we do understand, I can remember reading that. You know what? Those prophecies about the coming of Christ. I remember reading that and thinking, how can that prophet be so specific to say those things? And then Jesus, you know, hundreds of years later, come and fulfill it. How can that be so accurate and so specific? And the thought that just came to mind was that the same Spirit spoke the words and fulfilled the words. It's one and the same. The Lord is speaking to our heart. The way, His truth. He's dropping His truth into our heart. And even though there are things out there ahead of us yet, He not only is able to fulfill it, it is absolutely certain that He will. Praise God. He is leading us on that path. He is guiding us. We have to listen to His voice. I appreciate it so much. Last night, some of the things that Brother Hannigan brought to our attention. Some of these things, they're not hard. They're not difficult to walk in. But we need that ear to hear what the Spirit is saying. And let that adjust our steps so that we are walking in that place of safety, that place of growth where we can be fed. That place where the Spirit of the Lord can unfold His truth to us. As individual members of His body, and one of the brethren touched on this too, that's a difficulty here. If you wait till the end of the camp, all your stuff will be ministered at some point or other. But this has been touched on. But as individual members of that body, we are enabled or empowered to fulfill our place that God has called us to by the infilling of the Spirit.
Yep.
There is no, we cannot purpose in ourselves that, you know, we are just going to do what the Lord asks of us. We are going to fulfill what the Lord has asked of us. That's not possible. That's not humanly possible. But what is possible is to have that experience where He comes, He Himself comes and dwells in here. He's able to do the work. I can't. I can yield. I can submit. I can listen. I can take in. I can grow. But to be able and empowered to do the work requires the infilling of the Spirit. And in the day of Pentecost, Jesus told His disciples that. He said, you go into Jerusalem and you wait. You wait for that experience that you might have power. You might have the ability. It might be within you to be able to walk the way that the Lord will lead you. As the Spirit of the Lord in it, it covers every aspect of our life. You cannot sit there and have the Word of the Lord minister to you without having the Spirit of the Lord to reveal to your heart the truth of what's being ministered. Brother Snope ministered, I think it was Brother Snope ministered about Cornelius. And how, in such a remarkable way, Peter was asked to go there and minister to Cornelius, the most unlikely candidate. You know, if that was left for Peter to figure out on his own, you could see what happened there. That the Lord began to reveal to Peter that, you know, these things were true. You know, don't call what I have cleansed and purified. There is no place to call that unclean. Yet, according to the letter of the law, where would Cornelius stand? A Roman. The ruler, the dictators over the nation of Israel. They were probably fed up with the Romans. The very nation that carried out the crucifixion of Christ and all of these things. That out of that very nation, there was an opportunity for the Spirit of the Lord to add to His body. Human intellect will not accept that. That is a genuine work of the Spirit, if ever there was, that can prepare the heart. You know, when Peter recognized that this is the Spirit of the Lord speaking to me, and he was faithful to that call, when he went, as Brother Snow, I think it was, ministered that, Cornelius, in that with that faith that the Lord had put in his heart, he wasn't expecting, he wasn't just hoping that Peter might or someone might come and say a few things to him. He was absolutely knowing that it would happen. The Lord had dropped that into his heart. He was not only there in anticipation, he had gathered together everyone else that he knew that would be receptive to the Word. And they were all in anticipation for what the Lord would do. And when Peter came, it was like fallow ground. He just came and did his little part. And that seed that came from the sources in the heavenlies to the ground that had been tilled by the Spirit of the heavenlies, preparing the way. When that seed touched that ground, it immediately took root and began to grow. You know, as it was ministered to us, that when Cornelius and these other folks heard that, and that message of salvation and that way of the cross and those truths, not only did they receive it, but the anointing of the Spirit and that infilling of the Spirit just followed right behind.
Hallelujah.
Tremendous, tremendous work of the Spirit. Just that glimpse of that power and that authority at work. It is absolutely necessary that we have that experience ourselves. That is not something that there are things there that it would be nice to enter into this, and we can kind of have this plate of things. Well, I like that, and I don't like that. The Spirit of the Lord will set before us what is necessary, and He is looking for us to enter into it. Praise God. And in John 6 and 63, says, the Spirit, this is with Jesus speaking, I have these written out so you may not have time to turn to them, but I'll just read them for you if you don't. This is John 6 and 63. It is the Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. He gives you a bit of understanding there on how profitable the fleshly side of us is. It doesn't contribute to that. It is the Spirit that does the work. And in Philippians 3 and 3, for we are the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. I'd just like to just touch very briefly on the way that the body operates. We are drawn together, we are brought together as a work of the Spirit into one body. There is that unity amongst us because the Spirit, the work of the Spirit in us, that unity will increase, as the Lord says. You know, we, in our growing times, there are things that creep in there that really don't belong. I'm not talking to you about that. I'm talking to me about that. There's lots of things that creep in there, many things that don't belong. But there is a unity in the Spirit that the Lord is bringing us into, that is the work of the Spirit among us. And that unity is a part of the unity that exists today between Christ and His Father and the Spirit. They are one. They are completely one. There's no division there. And we are tasting a part of that. And we are just blessed by that.
Yeah.
I mean, elders work together as a body. That from a human perspective, that's a very difficult thing. That's a very difficult thing to get three or four, whatever, men from different backgrounds, different experiences, different points of view, different personalities to come to agreement on issues. It's not easy. Probably have to be sent on a course for that one. But the Spirit of the Lord works very differently. Instead of me saying, well, you know, I can't really get along with so-and-so, and then, you know, I think this, and I, you know, we just can't agree about that. We begin to recognize the value and the ministry and the gift that the Lord has placed in our brother and our sister. And we begin to literally rely on that. We know that we do not have, no one has the whole answer. We know that the Spirit of the Lord will work in a body. And as those brethren come together on issues, there is a working of the Spirit in that body to bring about His mind and His will and His purpose. And that unity will increase as we grow and mature. And amongst us here, there is that same unity. You know, we fellowship and we there's always a few good laughs that go around about things that have happened as we discuss. And no doubt there are tears about issues and problems that we share, but there is a love that has its source in the realms of the Spirit that is among us. That love will grow deeper and stronger. Those things that now, in our immaturity, perhaps hinder in some way, will fall off of us. They will fall away. We will outgrow them as we begin to enter more fully. And in that place of unity, it says the Lord commands His blessing. He doesn't say, well, you know, that's a good thing, and you it should increase your chances of being blessed of the Lord. Sort of like rain. It might land on you or it might not. He doesn't say that. He said the Lord commands His blessing. As you grow and enter into that place of unity, that this body must, it absolutely must enter into. It must grow into that, to that full. There is no way that this body can handle the authority and the responsibility that the Spirit of the Lord is vesting in it. There is no way that it can handle that except we grow into that maturity where that there is that unity amongst us. In that place, that mantle of authority will begin to operate to the level that the Spirit of the Lord is called it to operate. You know, Jesus ministered, and you see a brief, it's kind of like a snapshot, if you like, of the authority vested in Christ, the head. But he ministered there. He walked in absolute submission. Absolute submission to the Spirit and His Father. No matter where that path led, He submitted to the will of His Father. What His Father gave Him to speak, He spoke. And I guess if He didn't give Him anything to speak, it was quiet. But He gave Him, and there was that relationship there. But you get a glimpse of what the Spirit of the Lord is desiring to do. Where He was absolutely physically exhausted sometimes from healing the sick, breaking the bondages, speaking the word, doing the work, administrating the authority of the kingdom. Oftentimes it was so demanding physically, He was just exhausted from that. But you get a glimpse of it. And what He says, you will, his body, this spiritual body, this work that is at hand, will not only exercise that authority, but He said, greater works than these will you do.
Yeah.
Praise God. That boundary has not been set. It will unfold and unfold as this body grows and comes into its place, into its stature. Who can grasp the impact of that authority being exercised in righteousness over the face of the earth, dealing with the issues that are across the face of the earth, setting this disorder and this disarray into its proper order. Who can grasp that? But that is the path. That is the course. That is the walk. That is the place. Is it surprising? Is it surprising to us that, you know, you can look out the window and you can see the Spirit of the Lord just saying, okay, you know, your steps need to come over this way a little bit. It's important. It's important that you alter that. You know, our children, I don't want to overemphasize our grandchildren, but the opportunity to observe is there. But you can see that in our homes. You know, this little kid has got to learn. He has got to learn right. He cannot do that as a mature person and everything be okay. He's got to learn the right way to walk. It's important. And those parents, it's a full-time job to impart that. And the Spirit of the Lord has invested so much in this body so that that outcome will be the same. It will walk the right path. Some of the experiences that come into our life, and no doubt there are some of these things that we ask the Lord, you know, why? You know, why? Why would that ever happen? Why do I have to go through this? Why do I have to face that? Why have you made me this way? That is the clay asking the potter what he is doing. That's what it is. He knows what he is doing.
Amen.
He is knowing. He knows where you fit. He knows the shape and the pattern that you have to be to fit into your place, the fullness of your place. You will not stand on your own. You will not minister under your own strength. You will not carry authority by your own will and your own walking in your own way. You will stand in your place by submitting to one another, by finding your place in His body, by knowing what it is to exercise the authority of His Spirit by the gift of the Spirit that He has placed in you. You will find that that will fit you into His place. And I am sure that in my own walk, my personal walk, the Lord has allowed things that have been difficult to remove from me things that would prevent me from entering into that. Some of those things have just knocked it right off, I hope. Maybe at least made a dent on some of those things, but I don't even understand, and perhaps if He explained it, I still wouldn't understand. But we are the clay being shaped and patterned according to His great wisdom to fit into that place that He has laid out there from before the foundations of the earth, that this people might fulfill it. Praise God. You know, you can read those scriptures and you can say those things fairly quickly, but you cannot grasp it with your mind. It's the work of the Spirit in us. Except the Spirit takes those great truths and brings it right down to where He shines a light upon us. There's no way we can grasp it. If men and women think that they can go and get a doctorate degree to unlock the secrets of the kingdom, they are deceived by that. They will not do it. The Spirit of the Lord will take it. He will take it and reveal it to fishermen that cannot read or write. He will take it and reveal it to you, who otherwise would be as ignorant as anyone else. But by His grace, by His goodness, by His love, by His gentleness, He will take His great truth and reveal it to you and I. And when He does, what a miracle. What a miracle. He takes things of great value, and you, all of a sudden, it's been there all the time. You know? I understand that. I can see that. You know, you can possess it. You can not only see it, you can get your hands on it, and you can walk in it, and you can do it. Praise God. The order of the home. What a tremendous thing. You know, we have an earth today that's running in every other direction. The Lord has implanted that truth. Something to possess. Something to walk. Something to take hold of and be blessed by. Praise God.
Amen.
If we can just read in Matthew 28, verse 18 and 19. And it says, Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Ghost. But Jesus mentioned that, and it was like he was telling his disciples. This was after the resurrection, that brief period of time after his resurrection, he's speaking to his disciples, and he told them that all the authority, this authority has been given unto me. It was like he was telling them that that authority is there to do the work through the head. And it's being vested in them. It's coming through the head and it's being imparted to them. As the head directs, the body responds. And that work of the Spirit is able because Christ has overcome. You know, you can read that in Revelations. And there's a passage in Revelations there where it talks about, I guess it was John standing there and weeping because there was no one found worthy to open the scroll and read from the scroll. And then the angel coming to John and saying, you know, don't weep. The Lion of the tribe of Judah has prevailed. He has prevailed. He has overcome. That impossible thing has been broken down.
Yeah.
It is now possible. It has been overcome because Christ has overcome.
Yes.
He said, John said he looked and he saw, as it were, a lamb slain, standing there, sacrifice. And you know, you read those words and you think, the Lion of the tribe of Judah has overcome. It seems like power has prevailed and authority has prevailed, but submission prevailed. Christ yielded. He had a road to walk, and he submitted to that. He became the sacrifice for us. And by that, he overcame. And because he overcame, you and I walk an overcoming walk.
Yes.
It is not because we are able. We are not able. It is because He has overcome. We can have confidence. We don't have to look at our frailties. We don't have to say, well, you know, I'm just not able. We cannot stand before the Lord and say, I am not able. If
Amen.
He has sent us, if He is directing our steps, if He has opened the way, if He is leading the way and instructing the body to follow, we cannot say we are not able because He is able and He has overcome.
Amen.
And He dwells in His body so that we also overcome. Praise God. Praise God. We can have confidence in that. And in that, okay, mention this. Well, I'll just read this passage of Scripture. It's John 14 and 12. It says, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, he shall he do also, and greater works than these, because I go unto my Father. We can expect to see, as that growth comes into place, the work of the Spirit to a greater and greater measure. We long for that. But you know, growth is necessary. You need to get beyond immaturity. I can remember being maybe can't remember very well, but I can remember thinking, I guess, as a child, you know, you can do anything that your dad can do, basically. I wanted to drive a car. I mean, why not? I see my dad doing that. But there is a level of growth and maturity before you really are able, praise God, to handle responsibility in a mature way. I'd just like to mention some things here. And I was reading a while ago, we were just in Victoria on Sunday, I mentioned some of these things Sunday morning in Victoria, so it might be a bit repetitive for folks from Victoria that are here, but maybe a bit of overlap there. But I remember reading a little while ago about the Apostle Paul and his ministering to some of the local churches. And I, you know, in reading about in the Acts of the Apostles and some of the work of the Apostles, you tend to, at least I have, tended to put these brethren kind of in a different category, I guess. Maybe rightly so. I mean, the hand of the Lord was very much upon them. But it just seems that in reading some of these things in the Acts and then in the letters to the various churches, how similar the things were that they dealt with that we deal with. How similar. And as I was reading about, the letters to the Corinthians, the church in Corinth, because that's so kind of historically far away from us, you kind of think, that was a different scenario altogether. But when you read it, it really isn't, there's a lot of things there that were very down to earth. It was not this kind of high level of spirituality all the time. And the walk of the apostle was very down to earth as well. And I just appreciated so much the attitude of these brethren that have gone before us. And I'd just like to read this morning for you some of the words of the Apostle Paul in these circumstances and how he felt with some of the things that were before him. And this is in Philippians 3, verses 4 to 14. And if we can read from the Phillips translation, just a little easier to follow, I think. But it says, this is the Apostle Paul speaking, as far as the law is righteousness, I don't think anyone could have found fault with me. And he's talking about his experience. This was his personal experience. He just, in writing this letter, he's just giving a bit of his own background. The Apostle Paul, as you probably know, he came from a very strict religious background. And on the surface, that seemed like a good thing. I mean, that seemed like, that should be a good thing to do. At that time, my wife bought me for birthday or Christmas a study Bible, and it has a bit of the background of what some of these things were. And they were talking in there about the Pharisees and the Sadducees and, things that, when we see Jesus' interaction with them, it's always very negative. I mean, they're always head-to-head, with the spiritual things. But on the surface, it kind of seemed like a good thing because Israel at that time was really getting pretty lax as far as the walking in the law was concerned. And no doubt the influence of Rome, being occupied by the Romans wasn't helping. And there was getting a lot of drifting away from, the law of Moses and walking in all these statutes that they'd been given. So these sects, they said, we've got to do better than that. We've got to get back to where we're supposed to be. And some were very diligent and very zealous about that. And the Apostle Paul was one. They were so much so that he said in his own experience, there was probably no one really that could outshine him. He was doing very well in that environment. And I'm sure he was believing and feeling that, he was on the road to his inheritance. But let's just read for a minute what he says. As far as the law is righteousness, I don't think anyone could have found fault with me. Yet every advantage that I had gained, I considered lost for for Christ's sake. Yes, and I took and a look upon everything as loss compared with the overwhelming gain of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For His sake, I did in actual fact suffer the loss of everything. But I considered it useless rubbish compared to being able to win Christ. For now, my place is in Him. And I am not dependent upon any of the self-achieved righteousness of the law. God has given me that genuine righteousness which comes from faith in Christ. How changed are my ambitions! Now I long to know Christ and the power shown by His resurrection. Now I long to share in His sufferings, even to die as He died, so that I may attain, as He did, the resurrection from the dead. But the Apostle Paul said, you know, I had all of these things that I was working so hard to achieve a high standard in, until Christ came along. And He just rescued him out of that. He took away the thing that he could never achieve, and He gave him the reality of it. He gave him the thing of substance that he could never achieve on his own. Yet, my brothers, I do not consider myself to have arrived spiritually, nor do I consider myself already perfect. But I keep going on, grasping ever more firmly that purpose for which Christ grasped me. My brothers, I do not consider myself to have fully grasped it even now. But I do concentrate on this. I leave the past behind with hands outstretched to whatever lies ahead. And that kind of stood out, that phrase. He said he leaves the past behind. He's not looking back to what he was. He's not looking back to things that are behind him. He's looking ahead. And you know, that's good for me to keep in mind. You know, sometimes you'd like to go back and fix things that you've done wrong in the past. You'd really like to do that. I'd like to do that.
Amen.
I'd like to go back and, you know, I just wish that I had never done that, you know, or maybe I wish that I had done something else. And I think for my part, if that were possible, I would never look ahead. I would always be fixing something. I'd find something else that needed to be fixed. But Jesus Christ came on the scene.
Amen.
He washed that away. He said, there's a line drawn here.
Yes.
What is behind you is gone.
Amen.
No matter what it is. No matter what transpired. And the Apostle Paul had a lot to be forgiven. He persecuted the church. He was responsible for the death of very innocent people because of his diligence in pursuing what he thought was right. He was responsible for that. He stood by as Stephen was stoned to death. He assented to that. He gave his assent and his approval to that. He had a lot, but he said, you know what? Christ came into my life. And how changed that is the result of that.
Yes.
The past, no matter what it is, there's a line been drawn. And nothing exists. Nothing beyond that line is of any value.
Yes.
It is gone. That price has been paid. No one could pay for that except for that Lamb who was willing, who overcame, who made the way open. And he said, now how changed are my ambitions. How changed are the things that I am looking forward to. There is a light. There is a way. There is a purpose. There is a goal. It's not mine. It's not my own ambition anymore. Everything that I had there is just, that's just rubbish. There is the real. I have touched the real. And I want nothing else. I walk now as one with hands outstretched. For whatever lies ahead, because I want the fullness of what the Lord has done for me. I want to lay my hands upon the fullness of what the Lord has done for me, just like He laid His hands on me to rescue me. That was His position. And He walked and He literally suffered the loss of everything that in His old life He would have counted valuable.
Yes.
It just it just vanished away. Vanished away. In fact, I mentioned this to the church in Victoria on Sunday. You know, when you read the account of these brethren, here was the Apostle Paul, the same man that held this position of prestige and authority on the human level. Here he was in chains, defending his life, standing there like a criminal in the courts, the Roman courts, defending his conduct against the law, against men that were trying to end his life and end his work. And he was standing there, and he was happy to do it. He was happy to do it because his course was set on things of eternal value.
Yes.
And the Lord was with him. When he was talking to King Agrippa, I believe I'm just doing this from memory, so you brethren may have to correct this, but I think it was with King Agrippa. He said, "You know, Paul, you almost persuade me." And he said, "King Agrippa, except for these chains, I wish that you stood where I stand today."
That's right.
That was his testimony. That is our testimony. We can say the same things that the Apostle Paul can say. How changed are our ambitions? How changed are our goals? They are not a set on my own self-achievement anymore. That could never succeed. Instead, the one that has already overcome has come to abide and to dwell and to guide and to be with us and to help us and to enable us that we might be possessors of all the fullness of the things that we have.